Our scripture lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed, when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Well, I hope that's not an omen here. Well, while we do have a lighter moment, I just shared with Rosemary an inspiration that I had during her announcement, a new motto for our choir and bell choir: if you can't sing, at least you can ring. So, remember that. Now, I can sing, but I can't ring. I want to start off this morning with a moment of silence. I want us to just take a moment to remember, to think about, to pray for hundreds of people whose lives have been disrupted, turned upside down, and destroyed in the past few days. We remember these people in California, in Texas, and Ohio in particular, but we also remember countless people around the world who live in the same such terror and pain. Let us pause. Amen. You know, sometimes things change in an instant. Sometimes change comes over a period of time. There's not a preacher alive who hasn't had to change their sermon at the last minute. That's why many, many years ago, I just started writing my sermons on Sunday mornings. I got tired of changing them. I heard last night on the internet from many, many colleagues, well, my sermon just went out the window. I didn't reply back, but I wanted to say, well, I don't even have mine yet. But it looks like I just got it. I got a lot to say this morning. And I want to try to say it in a concise and compact manner, so I may start moving a little fast for you. But this Colossians reading that we heard this morning was the text for this week, and I had already planned to go in some directions. And what I'm trying to do this morning is I'm trying to take the events of the last week, of the last 2 or 3 years, the last decade. I'm trying to take a lot of this stuff and just take this reading that we just heard from Colossians and sort of lay it over on top of it. And I hope you were listening to those words, because what Paul tells us is this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I got this graph. This was one thing I was going to use this morning, but I think it's still a good thing to start off with. This pie chart shows us that Christians are the largest religion in the world. This is their 2015 figures. They haven't changed that much. These figures come from the Pew organization, the experts in surveys and about different issues. I want you to look at this pie chart. First of all, the majority of the world's population is religious. There's only 16% there that says unaffiliated. The rest of the world's population is considered religious. They consider themselves religious. Over half of the world's population are either Christians and Muslims, whose foundational teaching is love and peace. I want to repeat that. Love and peace. The word Islam means peace. And both Christians and Muslims have terrible histories of violence. Both Christians and Muslims. Any student of history knows this. Any student of current events knows this. My question is, if half of the world's population belongs to religions whose primary tenet is love and peace, then why is there so much violence and hatred in the world? That is an incongruence that I struggle with constantly. And I hope you do too, and I hope other people ask that question. According to the Gun Violence Archive, this is an organization that just keeps up with gun violence in our country. They get their data from police departments, all manner of law enforcement, government agencies. This is not just some organization out in the blue throwing out numbers. These people scour the databases and come up with figures. According to the Gun Violence Archive, Just last week alone, since last Sunday, when we were in this room, there have been 10 mass shootings in our country. A mass shooting, according to this archive, is where four or more people are shot, not including the shooter. 10 since last Sunday. And in those 10, 43 people are dead and 82 people are injured in 1 week. Since the beginning of this year, there have been 251 mass shootings in our country. And we call ourselves a Christian nation. I know most people don't go out and shoot, but so many people tolerate, so many people support systems that encourage and build up such violence. In the same week, this past week, we have heard language, our media has been saturated with language where numerous U.S. cities and the people who live in them have been maligned as rat-infested, crime-ridden, rotten, uneducated, lazy. While at the same time, other well-known and respected statistics tell us that in fact the cities of the United States of America are experiencing what some call a golden era. Downtown sections of major cities are being revived. If you don't believe it, go to St. Petersburg, go to Tampa. People are moving into cities by throngs because cities are where they are finding fullness and life. So what's going on here? On the one hand, we're going to hell in a handbasket, and on the other hand, it's never even been better. I want to go to this next slide just quickly, just so we get away from pie charts and look at numbers. These numbers, by the way, add up to over 7 billion people. Just so it's not percentages. There's over 7 billion people in the world. Look at those top two numbers. Let's see, what is that? 5.1 billion. Well over half. 5.1 billion people are Christians or Muslims. 2.3 billion are Christians. In name, writer John Pavlovich this week came up with a very interesting phrase, Jesusless Christianity. Jesusless Christianity. You might even say there's a Mohammedless Islam. Because we have gone off in directions that go against our basic tenets. So what is going on? Kathy, if we could just have that next slide for a while. As I said, on the one hand, it seems like we're going to hell in a handbasket. On the other hand, it seems like life has never been better. On the one hand, we found out this week that the Arctic Ocean has less ice in it earlier than ever before. Because that heat wave that nearly crippled Europe moved into the Arctic. And on the other hand, we've got places like Chattanooga, Tennessee, with an airport that's totally solar. We have wind farms running cities. We have solar fields running cities. That's on the one hand, where people are actually realizing that we need to take care of our planet. Last week I preached about how God is good, and you said, and I said, all the time. And this week, here I am talking about gun violence and death. So which is it? Which is it? When we say good, when the Bible says God created and said it is good, and pronounced all of creation very good, in a biblical sense, we need to understand this word good is not necessarily what we think it is. I'm always saying things like this about the Bible. But we need to understand what the Bible is really saying to us. In the biblical text, good does not mean goody two-shoes. Good means whole and complete. When something is good, it is complete. It is whole. That's the same understanding of the word perfect. It's not without blemish or without flaw. It's whole and complete. And that's what God's creation is. God's creation is whole and complete. And when something is whole and complete, there's nothing outside it. If there's something outside it, then it's not whole or complete. We have to learn and understand as people of faith to hold the completeness and the wholeness and the fullness together, because it is one. It is the presence of God in and through everything and everybody. Now, what about evil? What do we do with evil? We have within ourselves the capacity and the potential for evil as we understand it and for good as we understand it. We have that capacity and potential. Let me draw an analogy for you using just language, okay? When we are born, when we are tiny little babies, when we are born, we have within us the capacity and the potential and the physical ability to speak any language. Any language. The language we end up speaking as our native tongue is learned and formulated and developed, even physically. Our tongues develop so that they only produce consonants on the lips rather than back in the throat if we speak certain languages. If we speak other languages, then we develop the ability to use those guttural throat sounds. We have the capacity, we have the ability, we have the potential. And that is the same for each and every one of us. We all have the capacity, the potential, to be good or to be evil. So which is it? Which is it? I'm going to assume that everybody's familiar with the Native American story of the wolf, where the young child goes to the tribal elder and asks, "Grandfather, I have evil thoughts. What do I do with them? And this wise tribal leader says, within every one of us, we have the capacity. We have two wolves. And there's a fight going on between these two wolves. And one wolf represents fear, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. And the other wolf stands for joy, peace, love, hope, sharing, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, friendship, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And the little child says, well, if the same fight is going on inside of me, which one wins? And what does he say? The one you feed. The one you feed. And that brings us to Colossians. As we read this, we need to keep in mind, as we need to keep in mind with all of our scriptures, that all of our scriptures were written in a different time, in a different place, by people who had a totally different understanding of the realities of the universe and the earth. Paul lived in a time where Paul's understanding of the universe was a three-layered tier. You had above, you had earth, and you had below. And so when Paul talks about things above and things of the earth, he's speaking of it from that understanding. I want to suggest to us today that one of our problems in biblical interpretation is we insist on that three-tiered layer, when in the 21st century, we know very well as intelligent people that the universe is vast. So let's start looking at this language in a different way. And when Paul says things are above, we're talking kind of taking the high road. When he says things are of the earth, we're talking about kind of taking the low road. And so we might read, so if you've been raised with Christ, take the high road where Christ is. Set your minds on things that are on the high road and not things that are on the low road. And then you will be with Christ in glory. In glory is not a place. In glory is an existence of living in the light. Living in the light of Christ as we live as Jesus teaches us to live. And the things he tells us here, he says, get rid of anger, get rid of wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. Get rid of it. It's no good. And don't listen to it from other people. He says, then we will be renewed. And in that renewal, there are no longer Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all in all. Christ is all in all. All is another one of those words. It's either all or it's nothing. So somewhere in each and every one of us, the Spirit of Christ is alive and well, because the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is the presence of God in all creation. barbarians and Scythians. Do you know who the barbarians and Scythians were in Paul's time? It was everybody else. That's who the barbarians and Scythians were. It was all those other people, those other ungodly people on the other side of the border, on the other side of the world, those people who are not like us. And Christ is in the barbarians and the Scythians, all in all. My friends, we are living in a time when we better wake up. We need to wake up to what is going on in the world around us. As so-called Christians, as the church, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, then we need to wake up to what that actually means. I couldn't help but think of a poem this morning. It's a poem that you may recognize as lyrics to a song. It's a song from my generation, maybe some of yours. A song that Buffalo Springfield sang years ago. And the title of the song is For What It's Worth. So for what it's worth, there's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. It's time to stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for a heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly saying hooray for our side. It's time to stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life. It will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line and the men come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We have choices to make, my friends. Last week's sermon started off, is the universe a friendly place? And the choices we make, the wolf we feed, in many ways determine this. And if we are to be followers of Jesus Christ, what do you think our glass is? Half full or half empty? With Jesus Christ, our glass is full. It's not half anything. But we have to seriously follow Jesus. Hey, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Pay attention. Amen. A few minutes ago, where I felt like I might have got to meddling a little bit, Used to have an old fella in my congregation in a small town in Georgia who would tell me at the door, he said, "Preacher, you stopped preaching today and got to meddling." Well, you know what? I don't have any problem with that. Because I think that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. The gospel of Jesus Christ gets into our lives and meddles to show us the way. Our charge this morning comes from the remainder of the third chapter of Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Amen.